Awesome. Who else do we have on the call? I know Nikki, and I feel like I heard another. No? Okay. Nikki, what prompted you to, what motivated or inspired you to get attend this call?
So I really don't believe in coincidences, but I really, really do believe in divine intervention, and I really think that that's what happened today. My business that I'm starting is called Be Beautiful, spelled with a Y-O-U. It's called Be Beautiful Youth Coaching, and I want to, of course, coach all youth, but something that's really, really close to my heart is, you know, lower-income at-risk students, because I did grow up as one. Mm-hmm. And what really was interesting to me when I read on Facebook the title of it is because one of the things that – one of the struggles that I'm facing is that – those type of kids really, really need life coaching. And I think that, you know, their parents, because they have not been exposed to it, because of the type of environment, because of basically generational ignorance, if you will, they don't really understand the value of it. They don't really understand the value of, you know, their kids really needing positive self-esteem, really needing to know conflict resolution, really needing to know financial literacy. And so I feel like those kids really, really, really need that. But their parents, because they don't really understand the value of it or know about it, they're not as willing to invest in it as they are willing to invest in other things that are not productive for their kids or that are not going to build a future for their kids.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we will definitely make sure we touch on a little bit of that as well. Thank you also for sharing, Nikki. I appreciate that. I know that it takes a lot, even if you're not conscious of it, to share your background and be open in a space is very I'm not sure what the word is, but it requires courage. And so I just want to thank you both for sharing kind of where you come from. So let's just go ahead and get started. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, give you a little bit of background on where I came from. And as I mentioned or as was stated inside of the course description for tonight, we are definitely covering how to build a business in diverse communities. How to connect with that community, how to best show your skill set, and ultimately how to grow a business the way that you want to. I will be touching on some of the topics and things that I've discussed in some of the other recordings and classes, so you are more than welcome to go and take a look at those as well. Just so you know up front, I've got a couple of resources that you will definitely want to check out. One of them being, there's a book called Brainwashed, subtitled Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority by Tom Burrell, which is an excellent book on marketing, and it speaks to how black communities have been marketed to throughout history. So it's a really, really good book. Tom Burrell was the president of Burrell Ad Agency, which was, I want to say, the first advertising agency that created marketing commercials like with geared toward an urban audience, so for some of the large-scale companies like McDonald's and the other companies. So his book is a very, very, very good book. I'm also using an article from success.com, and so that's success.com/mobile. But it's basically inside the coaching industry. So I'll be referencing that as well. And so, I'll send you both of those so you can add those to the call. So if you aren't able to write those, then those will be available for you as well. I feel like I'm hearing some feedback. So if you can mute your line, I would greatly appreciate it.
How do we mute it?
I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody until you're ready for questions.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so we are ready. I was like, let me tell you, I've got to say, I was like super duper excited about this class. Coaching and building coaching businesses in particular and diverse communities, Black communities in particular, let me just say that, is something I am extremely passionate about. So as you know, my name is Natisha Willis. I am a Black woman, and I was raised in urban America. So low-income neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. Neither of my parents have degrees. I'm a first-generation college student. I'm a first-generation, college graduate, a first-generation grad. I have a graduate degree. And I'm also a first-generation entrepreneur. So I am definitely, I've done a lot of firsts. I have been a lot of firsts in my life. Neither of my parents have ever been homeowners. And so I am now in a place where I have two degrees. I'm en route to get my third and on my way to owning my first home next year. So when we talk about coaching in diverse communities, my motivation in speaking about how to build a business based on these communities comes from being raised in these communities, right, and wanting to really go back into the community where I came from and serve the people in that community. So just to give you a little bit of background, you probably already are familiar with this. As I mentioned, or I did not mention, I am wrapping up. I'm on track to start the process for my board BCC credential. So I am super duper excited about that. I am a graduate of the ILCC program. So, Kathy, when you mentioned the foundation course, I definitely took that. So I understand where you're coming from. But I have, so I've done coaching for, I guess, officially since 2014. I was first introduced to this whole idea around coaching in 2004, actually. I was appointed the president of a campus organization, and as part of my new appointment, I was tasked with creating a leadership program or team-building activity for the organization members. And so on the campus, I attended University of Illinois, and we had a leadership center on the campus that basically was an office that had tons, it was a huge library of leadership books. They offered a leadership certificate at that time. I had a leadership coach. I created a leadership portfolio. So that was my introduction to self-improvement and coaching in a way. That was 2003. I met my very first executive coach that year as well, who was also a member of that organization. It was my sorority, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And the first coach that I ever met was one of the past international presidents of the sorority. She had been a two- or three-time VP for IBM, and she had left her corporate position to go into executive coaching. So she was now coaching corporate executives. And so I knew that I wanted to do some level of coaching, but I wasn't quite sure what that looked like. So fast forward from 2003, when I met that first coach, 2004, I'm sorry, to around 2007, and I found myself employed as an academic advisor for an online university that had a student success coaching department. And at that time, I had just left my graduate program in organizational development and leadership, and I had been developing a leadership development program at that point. And so by the time 2007 rolled around, I found out about this student success coaching program. I was extremely excited, like super duper excited, because I loved coaching. I love leadership development. For me, those two are, they go hand in hand. Well, when I interviewed for the department, for the position, the person who interviewed me, I did not get the job, but what he later told me, the reason that I did not get the job was because he said I did not have a proper understanding of what coaching was. And I laugh about that now. Even then, I was like so appalled because I love coaching. I love self-improvement, personal development, everything about it. I'm in it. And so I was just so surprised that that was the response that I got. But what I recognize now, looking back, is that was not where I was supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be in coaching just yet. And so me not getting the job really pissed me off, to be honest. And so what I vowed to do is I would never get certified in coaching. And instead, I would pursue other certifications. Well, you know, like they say, never say never. So in 2007, I pursued a certification in Myers-Briggs Type Inventory. So I got certified to administer that. I pursued my master's degree in nonprofit management and fundraising. And I pursued after I graduated, I went to pursue a PhD in higher education. Well, I left, the PhD was not a great fit, and because I'm a community person, right? Like I said, I come from a low-income community. Even in undergrad, I was, you know, really heavily involved in my sorority and other service organizations. I'm just really big on service, period. And what I found was the PhD wasn't quite a fit for what it was that I wanted to do. So what I ended up doing, I had moved, relocated from Chicago to Baltimore, Maryland, and I dropped out of my PhD program. And when I dropped out, I took a little bit of time off just to kind of start figuring out exactly what it was that I wanted. What did I want to do? What kind of career did I want to pursue? You know, I'd already packed up my life and moved across the country. And so what I was very interested in African culture, and I still am. And so in Baltimore City, there was a course, a group of people, a community organization that hosted African study classes. So every Sunday we would study together. I believe it's about 2 or 3 hours we would study, and there would be different books that we would be reading together. It was almost like school, community school, because, you know, most of it was an adult class, and it wasn't for a degree. It was just that we wanted to study about African culture. And so we did. And so as a member of that organization, what I did, the very next step that I did, you know, as a member of that community, right, that particular community, is we had a, what did we call it? It was an African marketplace. That's what we called it. It was an African marketplace. And so once a month, different entrepreneurs would come out and we would sell things. And so because I was a part of the community, I noticed that people wanted, there was a need or a desire for shea butter. And I'm going somewhere, so follow me. So there was a need or a desire for shea butter. And me being from the south side of Chicago, basically tapping into my previous resources, I knew that you could get a 16-ounce container of shea butter for like $5 in Chicago. Well, in Baltimore City, it was more like $10 or $12, sometimes $20 for the same 16-ounce container. For me, having a degree, a background in business, I love marketing, my degree's in accounting, I immediately thought, wow, here's an opportunity. I know that I can get it for $5 in Chicago. The average going price in Baltimore City is $20. So I could sell it for $10, make a profit, and still serve this community that I'm a part of. Well, that's exactly what I did. I started selling shea butter, and not just shea butter, and if you're not familiar with shea butter, it's a moisturizer. It's like cocoa butter, but shea comes from the shea tree or cola tree in West Africa, and it's excellent for your skin. Well, I started making all kinds of products, and before I knew it, I was shipping products all over the country. People in from my Facebook friends list, you know, I had pictures of me doing all kinds of things with the products, you know, at the marketplace every month. I was reaching out to my friends, asking them if they wanted to try. I had samples. I was buying wholesaling, doing all these things. And so basically I started a business based on a need within the community. And because it was a need that I was able to, number one, identify that people actually wanted to fulfill, and number two, because I was a member of that community and people automatically trusted me. With those two things, I was able to be very, very, very successful. And I liken that to how you are able to build any business, but in particular, definitely a coaching business, because we're still talking about service. We're still talking about how to serve members of a community. So with that story in mind, just a couple of things that I want to touch on. In case you did not know, the coaching industry, according to success.com is about a $2 billion industry. So the, in 2012, the ICF reported that the coaching industry created revenues of about $2 billion worldwide, $707 million of which was solely in North America. So the coaching industry has been in existence for quite some time. We know that the ICF was founded in 1995, and during that time, coaching was primarily for upper high-level CEOs, right? C-suite executives, as we like to call them, those were the ones who were benefited, received the benefit or received the opportunity of coaching. And so coaching was primarily to help those executives to lead their organizations to higher levels, to help the CEOs perform better, right? So it was basically business coaching. Well, since 1995, and since then, coaching has pretty much exploded, if you ask me. And I tend to see coaching exist in five core areas. I kind of call it the lifeblood of coaching. So typically coaches fall into one of these five categories: life coaches, health coaches, wealth coaches, meaning your money, spiritual life coaches, and business coaches. So typically any coach that I meet, they fall in one of those areas. And falling into one of those areas, what I found is that no matter what type of coach you desire to be, as we all know, being here at ILCC, the lifeblood of coaching is life coaching, right? The foundation of all coaching is life coaching. No matter what type of coaching you're helping people, what type of goals you're helping people to accomplish, it all comes back to, okay, what's happening in your life? What are the motivations behind that? What are your fears? What's preventing you from moving forward? What are the blocks there? So on and so forth. And so because the foundation of coaching is life coaching, as we coaches are called to support others, one of the things that's very important that we do when it's time to connect, right? So how to connect to these communities? Most of us want to support these communities. Well, one of the first ways that you want to connect is to start with yourself. This is something, if you've taken the Foundations course, then it's the last module in the course. And from talking to many counselors and others in the helping profession, what I have found is that the idea of self-work and self-reflection typically, for some reason, always comes last. If you do research on burnout and the stress levels of those in the helping professions, it's typically because we tend to put ourselves last. And this is it almost across the board, no matter what helping profession you look at, from teachers to nurses to coaches to counselors, all of us tend to put ourselves last. Well, if you want to connect with community, individuals in diverse communities, and honestly, let me just get this out the way. I'm a black woman. I want to work with black communities. The truth of the matter is every community works this way. You have to first identify who you are as a coach, where you're coming from, what motivates you, what is your motivation to work with this community, what do you have in common with that community. Frequently, we are looking to go into communities that are not like us in order to help people. There's nothing, I don't believe in right and wrong, so I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong with that. But what I will say is that when you are unable to find similarities between yourself and the people who you are serving, there's automatically a wall there. One of the things that I learned from working in online education, for almost 4 years, I was an academic advisor. And one of the things that I learned really quickly was to build rapport. And one of the ways, the reason that you build rapport really quickly is so that people trust you. And it breaks down all the barriers. And it allows you to talk person to person. And so one of the reasons that I say you find out what exactly you have in common with that community, and you ask what motivates you to work with this community, is because it forces you to look within and begin identifying some of your biases, some of your beliefs, some of your own fears, within my personal coaching community, we have this term that we call coach your damn self. And it's really about you coaching yourself and identifying what are some of the underlying foundations before you even get started. So number one, you start with you, identifying who you are and where you come from, right? Number two, when you're looking to connect, is you start practicing right now. Oftentimes, those of us in the helping professions, educated women in particular, we have lots of degrees, lots of credentials, lots of stuff, lots of letters and all of this, and we think that I need to get one more letter or one more credential or one more certificate before I'm able to properly serve this community. Well, that's not true. Let me tell you, one of the things that comes with being educated or properly credentialed is almost like a lingo. I want to say it's almost a sense of superiority over the community that you are looking to support. And I think if you take a look at the ICF definition for coaching, that's primarily one of the reasons that the ICF definition for coaching specifically states that our clients are whole, healthy, complete people who are able to solve their own problems. Frequently, those of us, when we're first getting started in coaching, we forget that the people who we are looking to, that we aren't, as coaches, we are not called to help, right? We're called to walk side by side and support our clients in addressing, creating and addressing their own solutions. That's huge because oftentimes what I found, and I did it too, as a new coach, I automatically wanted to help. I wanted to fill in the gaps. I wanted to give you information that you may not necessarily have, but still trying to put it within a coaching box. And what I found was that did not work. In diverse communities especially, people want to be they want to be taught how to fish. We do not primarily, when we feel like there's a gap between our clients and ourselves, we don't teach people how to fish. Instead, we do a lot of the work for them. And I think that is a huge reason why we find our businesses not successful and why we find ourselves burned out is because we're doing a lot of the work. So going back to start practicing now, when you the more education and credentialing you have, it almost creates a level of alienation between yourself. So you are separating yourself, right, before in order to become ready. But when you are not, quote-unquote, ready, when you leap or make the jump before you're ready, you actually tend to put yourself on even ground with the community you're serving. You're coming into a space feeling as if you don't know enough, which is exactly where you want to be. So when I say to you, in order to connect to a community, to start practicing, what I mean by that is get in that community. Go volunteer. I did a class, I believe, on friendship-based marketing where I talked about teaching free workshops. That is like super-duper, a super-duper awesome way to begin building those connections because you're coming from a place of, well, I don't know exactly what it is that this community needs, so here's a way for me to find out. So definitely do that. The third way on how to connect is you have to find your own support system. One of the principles of one of the reasons that I have been able to build a coaching business over the past few years so well is because I have two women who basically feel the way I feel, think the way I think, and believe the way I believe about the coaching industry, what coaching is and what it isn't, how we can best serve our community. And so as coaches, we have to create our own bubble. And it's sometimes easy for us to do that as just single individuals, but in order for your bubble to protect you and actually help you, when you go into other communities, when you go into any community, really, and you're attempting to be of service and you're building a service-based business, you have to partner with members of that community in order to accomplish your goal. And a huge part of that partnering is really creating mutually beneficial relationships. And before you can create a mutually beneficial relationship, you have to first, it says to have friends, you have to show yourself to be friendly, right? There's a quote or scripture that basically says that. And you have to basically come into the community as a friend first to leaders in that community. And that what happens is when you befriend leaders within that community or influential people within any community, what tends to happen is that whatever influence that leader has transfers to you. It's almost like you've been gifted or grandfathered in into that community. So that's important. So just to really quick to recap, how to connect with the community, number one, start with you. Number two, start practicing now. And number three, create your support system, okay? Now, how do you want to show your skill set? Now, the really cool thing about coaching, most of us have experiences that have experiences up until now. All of us have had experiences up to now, personal experiences, professional experiences, lessons that we've learned related to all of these coaching principles, all of these coaching skills, all of these coaching worksheets that we have access to, right? Well, the really cool thing, one of the things that I've noticed, in order to adequately present yourself as a coach, in addition to teaching people how to fish, you cannot walk into the door attempting to coach people from the start. What you actually have to do is present yourself as an expert. So, and the way that you present yourself as an expert is, number one, identifying your skills, identifying where you have overcome some serious things in your life, some things that you've done well, some things that you've done not so well, being able to show your failures and how you bounce back is what's going to make people connect with you the most, especially when you're going into communities where you may not be a member or no longer be a member. So, for example, I was raised in a low-income neighborhood, right? But I don't live there anymore. I live in the suburban America now. So when I want to go into a community where I am no longer a member, me having the same color skin does not matter. What matters is that I am connected with someone who can transfer influence to me. And the second thing that matters is that I'm able to teach the same lessons that I learned, and I can teach from a place of, hey, this is what I know. I'm going to give you these skills so that you can do this for yourself. Hopefully that makes sense. So identify your skill set. Number two, the best way to present, to show off your skill set is put them in a book. One of the classes that I did about creating your first coaching product, how to write a book in a weekend, it's right here on the ICF website, so please check that out if you haven't. It's great. Oftentimes, like I mentioned, it's really challenging to go into a community and instantly present yourself as a coach, primarily because people are either they're not familiar with coaching or they are familiar with coaching and they haven't had a very positive experience. And so you are presenting yourself as an expert, right? You're going to be looked at as an expert no matter what you do because you're in a position of power. You're in the front of the room. Even if you're in the back of the room, you're the one with the microphone. You're the one talking. So being able to present yourself as a person, as an expert, and having a book means that, number three, you're able to speak about exactly what's in the book and basically give people the skill set that you've already learned. Okay? So showing your skill set, you want to identify your skills, put them in a book, and then speak about what's in the book. That allows you to show off your skills in a way that's comfortable, in a way that gives people the power to do things themselves because now they have this book that they can rely on or flip through, right? And it helps to position you a lot better, a whole lot better. Even when, and I know, was it Nikki said that she wanted to work with youth? Perfect. Being able to write a book right, that a young person can take with them, or they can slip through, or they can work through exercises by themselves, right, is like the epitome of I am doing this work on my own. Journals are awesome. I'm creating a journal right now. It's just a series of journaling exercises and space for you to write out your thoughts. So this is like a perfect idea for coaches, helping people to not need you. I tell some of my clients all the time, put yourself out of a job. When you go to write a book and you're trying to position it as a coaching product, one of the best ways for you to do that is to write questions and leave space for people to write their answers. So it's almost as if you're replacing yourself with the book, okay? So that's the best way for you to show your skill set as a coach. Now we're getting to how to grow a business the way that you want. Number one is get clear and transparent about your motivation. So one of the things that we spoke about in the beginning in terms of how to connect, you want to be clear and transparent, meaning that every time you talk to an audience, you want to share a story. You want to get in the habit of sharing what connects you. What do we have in common? Why am I here? Right? That's going to help you to grow your business the best. Number two, you can expect some backlash. So this is why you want to make sure you have a support system. No matter what community you go into, no matter where you are, there's going to be someone who does not agree with your method, your methodology, your reasoning. There's something, your approach. You can have the best intentions, and there's going to be someone who does not agree with you. And because of that, it's going to be super-duper important that in that moment that you pull on your coaching skills and you listen. You ask lots of questions. You ask follow-up questions. And you take your own time to coach yourself, and you take time to process the information that you've received. Journaling has become huge for me. I'm creating an entire program around journaling where the coaches themselves are journaling every day and answering certain questions specifically about how did your day go, what made it great or not so great, right? But being able to dig deep and really just reflect, take that time, forcing yourself to take time to reflect is going to be huge as you grow your business. And last but not least, expect trial and error. As you grow your business, there's no guru or marketing teacher. No one is going to be able to give you a foolproof method for marketing. No one, not even me. So what's going to be vitally important as you grow your business is listen to your intuition. As you learn more, practice more, do more, you're in the space more, you're going to get inklings. You're going to get gut feelings. And if you're used to squashing those or disregarding them, it's going to behoove you to begin listening to that gut feeling and following that. If you're spending time in reflection, journaling or meditating or praying, however you choose to reflect on what you're learning as you're building your coaching business, you're going to get little inklings about, you're going to hear phrases or feel phrases or be feel guided to do certain things a certain way. Start testing just following your first mind and see what happens. But as you follow your intuition, research exactly what it is that you're learning. You can go to the library. You can go to any of your local colleges if you need help with researching journal articles and things like that. But Google Scholar has tons of articles. So if you ever think of a phrase, you can put it in Google Scholar. It'll give you journal articles and people in academia who've written about those very topics. So definitely use your skills, use your resources, and definitely research. As you are doing all of this, make sure that you're volunteering, right? The process that I typically work with my clients on in terms of building their coaching business from the beginning is get out there and volunteer. Make friends with the people who you're talking to, right? Ask questions, follow-up questions, clarify the answers, make sure you're hearing the same thing. Test your assumptions. right? And try again. So volunteer, make friends, ask questions, clarify the answers, test your assumptions, and try again. One of the things that is really vitally important about building a coaching business that I don't think gets enough attention is the idea that you are now an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs test things over and over and over and over and over and over, right, until you get it right. And every time you're testing, you're tweaking a little bit. It's almost if you were to imagine that you were in a boxing ring with Mike Tyson or Leila Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter, and she hit a right hook, and she got you in the face a little bit, but you're like shaking it off, and then you get back in the ring. That's kind of what entrepreneurship is about. That's kind of what building a coaching business is about. You have to give yourself some time to shake it off, right? But then you got to jump right back in. And remember that this is all about service. That's why it's important that you identify what your motivation is. Because as long as you keep your motivation in front of you, you will continue to stay motivated. So some of the takeaways that I want to make sure that you have is trust the process. People who attempt to control this entire process are primarily motivated by fear. So it's important that you identify what your fears are and you coach yourself through them. You figure out what your fear is, where it's coming from, and then you move on it anyway. And I'll give you a hint. Most of the time when you are afraid of something and you have some fear around something, you're not going to identify what is motivating the fear or where it comes from until you have placed yourself in a position where you are forced, you're basically standing in that fear over and over and over again. It's kind of crazy to think about, but a great example of this is I lived out my backpack for a year, and I was definitely afraid of doing so. And I could not, I kept avoiding it. I wanted to do it. I felt in my spirit that I was supposed to do it. I gave up opportunity or tried to walk around opportunities to do it until finally it was the only thing that I felt was the thing to do. Was I had said I wanted to live out my backpack for a year. All signs are a go. For some reason I have some fear, and I'm not sure why. I'm going to jump out there and do it. And when I was out there doing it, I was able to identify the fear, but it was only after I was in that place that I was so afraid of that I was able to really show myself that my fears were primarily in my head. And that's really what coaching is all about. And that's why you want to make sure, as I mentioned before, that you have a support team. Find yourself two or three women or men, however it may work. I'm a woman, so I work well with women. Who can support you, and as you go through this process that you can talk it over, and who are going to help you confront some of your fears and your beliefs that you may have been holding on to without necessarily knowing what they are. So with that in mind, that's all I have, and so I am ready to take questions at this point.
Hi, this is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I certainly appreciate all the information that you have given. It's really good. And even the last bit that you spoke about regarding your fears, there's a phrase that I use and have used often for myself as well as others is basically face your fears. Face it and erase it. That's
mm-hmm.
They
go away when you do whatever you were afraid of.
Yep. So my question, though, more on building the business and marketing, is some ideas on, I guess, who or what organization types or person types are good persons to market to in these diverse communities, because
okay.
as you talk to these communities, sometimes you specifically said you want to help or others want to help, low income, you know, they may not feel this is an important venture for them to invest in, even if there could be some benefits because, you know, they're watching everything that they spend on. So in these...
Well, here's what I would do. Let's start, because I work best in specifics, right? I don't really do well with generality.
Okay.
So let's talk about you.
Okay.
You okay with that?
That's fine.
Okay. So who do you want to work with? Or what community, what part of the community do you want to work with?
Well, I don't want to pigeon myself, but basically...
I thought
of working first with college students. There's a lot of college communities around my area, and the reason being is a lot of the first couple years of college persons sometimes struggle with putting everything together, and they have these challenges, and just a little coaching could help them work through life in general as they're working through school.
Were you here for the entire call?
Yes.
Okay. So then you already said one of the things that you want to do, number one. Well, I guess number two is basically create a space where you are eliminating your job so that you're basically creating a coaching product where no one needs you anymore.
Yes. Now that I saw and I liked as far
okay.
as writing a book.
So the reason that you do that is, and this is why you pigeonhole yourself, number one. When you create a product that is good for one single community, right? So, for example, college students. When you pigeonhole yourself, and that's why it's so important, most of us are afraid to do that, but you need to do that immediately, as soon as possible. Address the community that you have something in common with. I'm assuming you went to college already.
Yes.
I'm assuming that you had the issue that you are attempting to coach them around.
Yes.
Then you want to write out that process, and you want to write, you want to create, like I said, a coaching product that you can, if possible, give away for free. And the reason that you want to give it away for free is because you're testing it. You have something in your mind, but then you want to make sure that people, it's like having a new recipe, right? A new food, a new dish. So you want people to taste it. You want to get feedback so you can adjust it a little bit. You want to taste it. You want to try, you know, have someone else taste it, another group taste it, and then you want to get a little bit more feedback, and you adjust it a little bit, and so on and so on and so on. Here's the beauty of that. What ends up happening over the period of time where you are testing and receiving feedback, and as you receive feedback, you're following back up with the people who have given you this awesome feedback and saying thank you and having them check out your next thing, you know, your new and improved widget, we're going to call it widget. What you are doing is actually building a brand or a name for yourself, all by virtue of you testing out a new product. So by the time it's time for you to have something to sell, right, the hard copy book, you may have been testing out one worksheet at a time or a couple of worksheets or hosting a half-day workshop on the campus, whatever the case may be. But by the time it's time for you to have something to sell, you have something that's gone through revision, you know, 5, 6, 7 revisions. And not only do you have something that's specific for the community in your local area, you now have something that is pretty much available for the world. Because one of the things that's really, really important to identify is when you start locally, you can expand globally because that very same community exists all over, just, we can say America. We can just limit it to America. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So my question then is, though, even though I am thinking college, I wanted to know some other ideas in this same type of, I'm going to call it now, an urban community, where there's just a conglomerate of variety, of diversity.
I would say start one place. Okay. I would say start, get started, and reach back out to me. Because we can talk about ideas all day long, but But until you move on one, then everything that we discuss won't really help you until you actually take the action.
So do you think that is a good community to start with?
Yeah, why not? You've been to college. As long as you have something in common with the community and you can speak from a place of, hey, this is I've been where you are, or asking the question first. Before you create anything, I would definitely do an informal survey of sorts, talking to people who you're looking to serve and find out what is it that they – do they want help with? Do they want help with this particular issue that you are looking to solve? Because they may not, right? Or the flip side of it is they probably do want help with this issue, but they're going to use different phrasing than what you use because you're so far removed from that space where those students currently are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So before you start doing large-scale marketing, this is a way of doing small-scale marketing, and it's really you testing out your ideas and starting to get your copy or your language on point. So you want to speak in the language of who you're talking to, who you're looking to serve. So doing informal surveys, doing the volunteer work, really just, spending time honing your craft is what I like to call it, but doing those free workshops, creating these worksheets, you know, building a name for yourself. Because what happens as you build a name for yourself, your name builds momentum, and you become known for this specific thing. Oftentimes, we as coaches or new entrepreneurs, we immediately hop out and we try to sell something, having not tested it. And what happens when we immediately try to sell something that hasn't been tested, it's not good. It's not good quality. You want to get in the habit of whenever someone pays you for something, it's 20 times better. It's worth 20 times as much as what they paid you. Because then if it's worth 20 times as much, they can't believe that they only paid XYZ amount. And now they're telling all their friends and they're giving it away and so on and so forth. You've got these great reviews. And so your name, your reputation will precede you. That's where you want to get you, where you don't have to market yourself. The people who you have served are marketing for you.
Got it.
And volunteering and putting on workshops and making a name for yourself and being positive and open to feedback, all of that is what will do that for you. Was that you who also just submitted the question about what are some of the top groups of individuals to market to?
Yep.
Yep. I can tell you that one of the best ways that I've, quote-unquote, marketed this year was I started a podcast called The Freedom Friends Show, and it's currently hosted on my website, NatishaWillis.com. You can see some of the interviews. And all I'm doing is literally having conversations with some of the top coaches and those five areas that I mentioned, life, health, wealth, spiritual life, and business. I'm just having conversations with them. That's it. What I've noticed is just through those conversations, those people are now staying in touch with me. And I stay in touch with them. I send them an email every month. Hey, how's everything going? What can I support you on? What do you have coming up? Right? So it's a way to build a relationship, but you leading with you being of service first. And then you're just kind of on the radar. That's what you want to be. You want to be on the radar.
All right, cool. I definitely appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Any other questions?
This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. So I really liked the part about putting your skill set in a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, because my target audience that I'm marketing to, I want to work with tween and teen girls who basically need help with goal setting and action stepping to start with. That's really what I want to start with. And I'm coming from a place, like you said, of knowing that I think I've done pretty well in life, but I think that I would have done even better and possibly not have gone through some of the things that I've gone through had I had someone to actually teach me goal setting and how to take action on things before I became an adult. And so it's interesting that you said about putting your skill set in a book, because I was thinking about creating not a thick book, but just kind of a, I don't know what you would call it. It's a book, but it just wouldn't be really thick, called The Teen Girl's Guide to Goal Setting and Action Stepping. But what I want to do is I want to have workshops. And at the workshops, I was going to charge for these low-income areas, I was going to charge $10 per girl. But do you think that it would be good to have that book there and that be like a gift for them to take with them?
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Brian. Start off free.
Okay.
Okay, everything's free, because remember, you are, if you have not tested what you're looking to sell, it's crap. And the reason that it's crap is because the people that you're talking to haven't told you, they haven't informed your product, right? So in academia, in research, we have this thing called, informed argument. Your entrepreneurship is basically the same thing. You want at least 10 to 20 pairs of eyes on anything that you wish to sell. You want at least 10 to 20 pairs of eyes on it first. These are your people who are going to tell you, no, I like this. No, I don't like this. This doesn't work. Take that out. Add this. This is what I've seen, right? As a coach, you have to remember that you are a part of the community as well. So as a member of the community, anything that you seek to serve or sell in that community, this is now a community thing. So the community has to now help you to sell it. And by helping you to sell it, we have to help you to build it.
So I guess for me, like, I guess I'm a little confused and I have a question, because I've had so many people tell me, no, you don't give it away for free, because people don't value your work when you give it away for free. And then
here's the thing, if you don't have anyone to buy it, who's going to value it then?
Okay.
As a coach is put yourself in the position of selling anything. Because what ends up happening, if I'm constantly trying to convince you to buy my thing, right, I'm now a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming a salesperson with coaching feels gross. Nobody wants to do it. You barely do it. It does something to your psyche and to the person who is buying it. Whereas if you give it away for free, this is what I've learned from my experience, ultimately you have to listen to your intuition. And I am very clear that there are coaches out there who say that people don't value what you have. I just don't think that's true. My experience has been something different. From running a mobile massage business, selling, like I said, shea butter products, now being a coach, Tiffany Alice is someone who I follow pretty closely. From the Live Richer Challenge, which she offered, no one had ever done before. She offered a 2014, she started a 30-day free program where she gave away tons of resources. The goal was 10,000 women. She's now up to 200,000 women involved in this free resource. And from that free resource, she has now created a paid resource where almost 3,000 women are paying $10 a month. That's $30,000 every month, starting from a free resource. So those are the kinds of examples I use in terms of why I say start off free, because then you can make it better, and you can build your name, and you build your reputation. The flip side of that, what I found in my own personal experience, if I'm not willing to give something away for free, I probably don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that I'm doing it, my sole motivation is money. If I'm willing to do something for free and I'm willing to bypass the money for the short term, what ends up happening in the long term is that I wind up getting paid way more than I would have in the beginning. So this whole game is like, it's chess, not checkers. So we have to think in terms of, you know, 3, 4, 5 moves ahead. This first move is not the one that's going to make you a millionaire. You got to think about using this first move and using it as a stepping stone. Like, it has to be a reason for you giving it away for free. And if you're using it, as I mentioned before, if you're using it as a way to make whatever it is that you're doing better, and you're helping the people who are supporting you to become basically brand ambassadors for you because they're going to be telling their friends, hey, you want to come to this, right? You have to start with a – you have to start with it. You have to. Because otherwise you're going to have no clients.
I think for me, like I'm willing to do it for free, but I don't know how to eventually – I don't know how, like, you would eventually transition from free to charging, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So I have a free program that you're more than welcome to sign up for, and I'm walking you through exactly how to do that and what that looks like. And so the name of the program is called Coach Your Dancer, and you can
sign up. Oh, I signed up for it.
Awesome. So as we go through it over from January until the end of February, you'll see it. And you'll see exactly what that process looks like. Like I said, Tiffany Alice is a great example. But in the group coaching, if you've taken the group coaching course, there's a book called A Comprehensive Blueprint to Group Coaching by Ginger Cockerham.
Mm-hmm.
In that book, Jim Vaccolo, who's one of the instructors, he speaks about basically building a course, a paid something based on a free something. Let's see if I can find the book. I know it's nearby. But you basically are talking, helping the people together. We're designing it. Together, we're creating this thing. I'm asking you exactly what it is that you want. And then I give it to you. It sounds crazy, but if you are, this is why people pay you. People pay you to save them time, money, or pain. And so if you are coming to solve my problem, all you have to do is ask me. You don't have to beat around the bush or go around the corner. If you ask me, you can only ask me if you've built a relationship with me. So if you notice, if you signed up for the challenge, you received a survey. And your survey asked you a question about what you're expecting from the program. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a lot of people who have answered that question. Well, this thing that I'm creating right now for free, I'm building out with the help of about 40 team leaders. And these 40 team leaders, they are helping me to decide what goes into the challenge and what doesn't, what looks good and what does not, right? So when I say build something as a community, so these are basically my first, I call them my first responders. So this is good. We can give you a real-life example. This group of 40, anything that I want to come out with a challenge, they're helping me with. So, for example, I said that the challenge was initially going to be 5 months long. Well, they said, no, that's too long. That's a little bit too long. So they voted last night, and the challenge is now 5 weeks long. Okay, we're doing 5 weeks. So a little bit of this, remember, one of the things that I mentioned is if you try to control the entire process, there's some fear there. Then you kind of have to release some control.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm releasing control, and together we're going to grow this thing, right? So because they have input, guess what? These 40 people are now telling, they have buy-in. So they're helping me to get people involved and signed up for the challenge, right? So after the challenge, we're going to go through the challenge together, and every week we're going to ask some questions. Well, at the end of the challenge, everyone will be presented with an opportunity to join a paid program. Well, guess what the paid program is going to be based on? The exact questions that everyone, the participants, answered, saying, this is what I want.
Okay.
Like in their exact words.
Okay.
So I'm giving something for free, and I'm asking for feedback. And whatever it is that they're saying that they want, I'm tweaking it. And then at the end, I give them. But I make sure that I go above and beyond with the free stuff. You want to make your free so good that it should be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like so outfit, like stupid good. So if you have a book, seriously, if you have a book, you have some worksheets, make them electronic. That way it's not costing you anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can deliver them electronically. Use them as a companion within your course. If you're teaching at a school or something like that, have them print them.
Okay.
But you have to create a space where we are a team. Because you are, as a coach, you are a team leader now. So you've got to identify all the things that you've felt wrong or found wrong with any team you've ever been a part of. This is now your opportunity to fix it.
So the group coaching that you're talking about, that you're a part of where you get help, where did you find that?
Where did I find what? You said the group that I'm a part of?
I guess you were saying like there's like 40 people.
I put the challenge out.
Okay.
I literally just came up with the name and I put it out there, and it's a mixture of people. It's a mixture of the first 100 people who signed up, as well as some people who I handpicked and asked them to be leaders of the challenge.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been extremely helpful.
Awesome. So you'll get to see all of this in real time. So I'm so excited for you. But then, as we move along, definitely you have to tell me what else you need.
Okay.
So we can get.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Where can we find more resources from you or your Facebook page? I know you're teaching us, but how
so my website is the best place. Everything that I'm doing, I make sure is on my website. So my, which is NatishaWillis.com. So my podcast is there. The Coach Your Damn Self Challenge is there. Literally everything that I do is on my website.
Okay, you're fantastic. This is so great. So thank you.
Thank you. I love this stuff. So I'm glad you think so.
Yeah, well, I can tell you love it. It's very contagious,
yeah.
And you're enthusiastic, and just really informative. You're like Jeff Walker.
Thank you. Oh, I am so taking that to the bank.
Yeah, oh, good.
I am certainly not. Thank you. I love Jeff Walker. That's the launch message guy, right?
Yeah, he's.
Yeah,
I think you're up there with them, so you've got.
Look, I'm working on it now. Listen, you have to join my challenge so you can help me be up there.
Well, I'm gonna go look for it for sure.
But the whole business is based on, and I think I've been looking at how to make a guru. That's going to be my next program, is how to make a guru, and I'm convinced that when you look at some of these top level. So if you're not familiar with Jeff Walker, Jack Canfield, Ian LeVincent, Tony Robbins, all of these people have the exact same formula. And I'm on a mission to flood the market with coaches so that we can be successful. Because the really cool thing about it, most of us don't want to have hundreds of thousands of customers. Most of us can only handle a couple thousand. Period. If that, and that's a couple thousand if we're doing like electronic products and speaking engagements and things like that. But I am so convinced that if you put what you know inside of a book, you talk to one specific audience, and you start, you really start by giving away free stuff, what you'll find is you'll be able to get your really, you'll be able to start with a really small crew. And that I call them your ride or die crew. And that really small ride or die crew, they are going to, together, you're going to build something really amazing. Because that's the exact same thing that I've done. My magic number is 3. So me plus 2. And what happens is, anything that I bring to the table, when we meet on a biweekly basis, anything that I bring to the table, it goes through a couple sets of eyes. And they make it better. They're able to bring in from their experiences. So my business crew, one person is a graphic designer, so she does all my branding stuff. So if you have not, she does all visionary stationery. She does all my brand visual stuff. The other person is she's not the president of something. She's a president of some counseling association in Tennessee. But she's a life coach. But so from both of those perspectives, anything that I have always comes out a million times better than what it could have if I just could have done it by myself. So it pays to have those type of people on your team, and the only way you get them is by way of getting yourself out there and giving away free stuff. And your star, this is what's important. I should have said this before. Your star student, this is the A student, the person in the front of the class, who has all the answers, who wants to support you, who wants to get, you know, the person who was like you when you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
Take the
mm-hmm.
person by the wing, by the hand, and make that one of your key people so that you can create a small group for yourself, almost like a review team, so they get the first, right? And it's okay for it to be free for them because they're going to help you make sure that it's, like, awesome and amazing for everybody else.
Hmm.
So I look forward to seeing what you all come up with. Please stay in touch with me. You've got to stay in touch and let me know what you do. That's so important to me because, like I said, my goal is to – I believe that coaches can save the world.
Hmm. Amen.
That we have the tools, we have the skill set. Counselors and therapists, I think, are awesome and amazing. I also think that sometimes this idea around professional boundaries gets in the way of them being able to connect fully with their community. Coaches have a level of understanding of personal growth and psychology. They have a little bit of that, but coaches don't have – they don't have the legalese that prevents you from getting out there. Coaches are expected to get out there, get in your community, host workshops, talk to people. Like, it's so easy to host a free workshop. It's December, perfect time for a vision board workshop. Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly what I was thinking about doing.
Whatever community you want to talk to, they need a vision board workshop. I'm doing a vision mapping workshop because I don't like all those magazines. So we're only doing poster boards and posters. And you map out your vision. But, yes, now is the time. So, please, we can do this. Especially, you know, once we get trained, we understand, like I said, so we have a certain level of understanding. We can face and create, like, transformation. And create ways for other people to create transformation in their own lives. And all we have to do is put it in the book. Do the thing that we're most afraid of, which oftentimes is giving away our stuff for free.
Okay.
And I was that way. So I'm very clear that there is a fear that if I give this away for free, then nobody's going to pay for it. Let me tell you something. There is no shortage of ideas. You will not run out. So give away the first one for free so you can hurry up and make room for two people. There's other ideas waiting for you. Bigger and better and more amazing ideas. So give away the first couple for free, please. So that's all I got. I'm so happy. Thank you so much for attending tonight.
Thank you so much for hosting it.
Yes, for sure. Yeah,
thank you.
Nikki and Brian,
thank you.
You said Ricky.
Thank you. The same to you.
Oh, thank you. I heard multiple voices. How many people were on the phone?
I was saying to Brian and Nikki, good luck. Good luck to both of them. I love both of them.
Yes,
the same to you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.